Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Hey, hi. This is Garcia, Dr. Cappuccino. And guess what? We are right on the same topic for today, June 5th. Most of you know, and all of you who have been following our series on how can we make the heart of God happy. We have been following that. Series 1, Series 2, Series 3, and now this is Series 4. How can we make the heart of God happy when even today there seems to be no hope? I look to the left, there's a problem. I look to the right, there's a problem. I talk to my friends, there's a problem. I try to get along with my husband, and it seems to be a problem. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Everywhere we look, there seems to be a problem. Children, we can't seem to get along with. We have people that call themselves our friends. There's a problem there, but oh, my God, no happiness there. How can we even hope to make the heart of God happy when everywhere we look, there seems to be some kind of problem that doesn't lead to happiness or that doesn't lead to anyone finding happiness in their lives. But right now, we want to let you know, whether you believe it or not, there is a God and he loves you. People say, oh, why can you say that? And the world is in the shape of sin. All kind of evil is going on. Everything negative is hopping around on 2 feet. Oh, my God. How can that happen? How can that be happening? But listen, the love that God has to share with us and that he blankets us with, it might be the same sense of love that we might think of as a people, as humanity, but it might not have the same definition. Oh, my goodness, what do I do? Well, today on the show, we are still concentrating. And this is our fourth session here on how we can make the heart of God happy. So it's not about you, it's about God. Well, that certainly is true here. And I see Colonel Harrison has joined us again. This is our 152nd show. What a history on a show for this early in the morning. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison, for tuning in with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dr. Cappuccino. Listening audience, thank you so much for having me again. It's such a pleasure and a joy just to be part of such a great show. So thank you for having me continuously.
Well, you are more than welcome because we know thousands want to know, hundreds want to know, millions want to know, how can we make the hearts of God happy? Now, we've been going over this type of a format for the past 3 Saturdays, and now here we are, 4th Saturday, and we got our hand on the pulse of what God wants to be made happy, why he calls himself a happy God, and what we as humans can do to continue to make us heart happy. But right now, you know, we're looking out in the world, and everywhere you look, it seems to be a problem that no one can solve. It seems to be problems that doesn't seem like there's no end to it. And people have just lost hope. They're saying, you know what, forget it. I don't care. I'll just do what I want to do. Yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to make myself happy. I'm tired of walking around with a sad face. Well, you don't have to walk around with a sad face. God did not create humanity to walk around with a sad face. God created humanity to love him and, of course, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So right now, Colonel Harrison, you know, people are very sad. You know, they're giving up. There doesn't seem to be any sound counsel roaming through the land. People are not able to still do what they think they want to do. And the ones that are free to roam outside of COVID-19, hey, they like, what is his name, this singer Marvin Gaye, let's get it on. Well, they're getting it on. Is the way to happiness God, fraught without hope? I mean, does it appear that There's not going to be any happiness again on our planet. Does it seem like it's not even worth it to try to be happy? Because certainly without that, we are not going to have the hope in our heart to even go forward to make the heart of God happy. What's the problem out there?
Okay, let me give an illustration that I think we all can identify with. How can we make God happy? We have parents. Some of us know who our mother and fathers are or were, and some of us don't. So those of us who grew up in the household know who our mother and fathers are. Once we became of knowledge and understanding at young age, 3, 4 years of age, whatever, we knew who our mother was, and hopefully we knew who our father was. And we wanted to do things to make our mother and also make our father happy. Not knowing who our mother and father is, we can't make them happy. So the same principle works with God, Jehovah. We have to get to know who God is in order to make him happy, and then know what he expects us to do that also will make him happy. Once we make God, the Creator, Jehovah, happy, it also makes us the greatest creatures that he has created in his image and likeness on the face of this planet, with intelligent and free will in his image. And we can be happy once we identify with the Creator God and find out who he is and what he expects us to do during this journey we call life. That's my perspective to begin our discussion.
That is your perspective. Well, you know what? And I have a perspective that I'm thinking bears some witness. When you say they've got to get to know who God is, Paul on the Areopagus stated that there are many gods, but he was there to proclaim the true God of the universe through the crucified Christ. So when we say they got to get to know God, what God are we talking about? And is there an easy solution for people that, and that really is a, it sounds like a Native American name, but it is not. It's Aramaic Greek, Jehovah. Is that a God that we should be interested in? Because, you know, I know there are many gods, Scripture says it, and also in the world, there's so many gods over in India, Hindu gods, you can't count them all. So let's identify, when you say get to know God, let's identify who that God is that we're talking about. And, of course, some of the ways to reach that God, because many people don't know, and there are still some that claim they've never heard of that name. So what God are we talking about when we say people need to get to know God? Of course you should before you make him happy. Who are we talking about? Which God out of millions of gods? Which God are we talking about?
God Jehovah. It is written that men may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, is the most high over all the earth. Not only is it written in the number one book that is the bestseller in the world called the Bible, it's also written in Greek, in the Septuagint. It's also written in the Quran, and it's written in other relational books. God Jehovah. That's the God that
God
I'm
Jehovah.
Making reference to. Yes.
Psalm 83:18, God. Okay, well, that sounds wonderful, but now we're talking about making this God happy. Do you think that knowing his name is enough to make him happy? What does God require of his creatures? He requires something before we can even talk about making his heart happy. What does God, this Psalm 83:8, God, require of human beings, the ones that the Bible says he created? What did he originally request of them, ask of them, expect of them, and even now, since it appears nothing has changed?
Wonderful question, Dr. Capitina. God requires that we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our being. And second to that, love our neighbor as thyself. God requires that we love him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so to meet that requirement, one would have to know about that God before they say, oh, I love you, Jehovah. wouldn't it appear that they would have to know something about that God? So rather than just walk down the street blindfolded, so to speak, as they're having retrospect to look for the God of the universe, what steps should people take when they want to really experience the joy of, number one, knowing God, and then number two, seeking to love him?
First step is get to know who God Jehovah is. Get to
know
who God Jehovah is.
How are they going to do it? Okay? How are they going to do it? Get to know who God is. How are they going to do something like that? How are they going to get to know somebody they don't know anything about, never heard the name? How would they go about doing that? Would you say prayer should be number one? Because we just can't run out in the street and say, I want to know God. I want to know who God is. Hey, Jehovah, yay. I mean, what steps should a person take to even get to know him? We're talking about 2021. You know, we know 2,000 years ago, people were brought up in Israelite homes where they had to know. They were taught probably on their mama's lap about this God, taking the baby out, looking at the stars and saying, this God, that, this God, this. Would you say that prayer should be number one on the list? I know you mentioned this maybe a week or two ago. What are the steps that they should take to get to know this God so that they can love this God?
Yes, prayer is number one, and prayer is simply having a talk with the true and living God, mm-hmm. the only true and living mm-hmm. God. Prayer, just having a talk with the invisible, true, and living God. He hears us when we talk to him. He hears us. Mm-hmm. He sees us when we seek him, when we search for him. And he also, he hears our needs and our concerns when we have problems that we render unto him through this medium called prayer. Prayer is just simply having a talk with God. And for those who may be challenged and having a talk with God, which is called prayer, then they can find a teacher. One who knows who God is, to teach them, show them, and lead them to whom God is.
Okay, well, you know, you got some people, and I see the hands as usual. You have some people that say, well, you know, I got money. I got all the money I need. I'm living good. You know, I'm eating good. I have a lot of rich friends, and, you know, I have people that love me, care about me. I can do what I want and go, well, why should I be interested in making a God I can't see happy? Here we go. Some might say, oh, my God, why should I be interested with all I have, with all my friends? I know from history to the future, why should I be even thinking about being concerned about loving a God that I can't even see? Why should I? What's the story with that?
Well, those who have wealth, bless them. Those who don't have wealth, they seek and desire wealth. Material mm-hmm. things are temporary. Material things come and go. Material things are transitory. They don't last long. There's temporary happiness in material things, whether it's money, whether it's investments, whether it's a business, whether it's a car, plane, whatever, home, whatever one they have, even then those of us who have children. We develop permanency in a relationship when we get to know who the true and living God is, connecting with him through prayer, connecting with him through a teacher. Then at some point in time, that God that we seek to get to know starts communing with us, starts revealing himself to us through either dreams, the visions, or revelations. God will make himself known, make his presence known to us. But we have to seek him. We seek other things, so we should seek to get to know who God is. Because the world is in turmoil doesn't mean that there isn't a creator whose name is Jehovah that created everything. And he did. It is written.
He sure did, and it sure is written. So for the rich man that Jesus said it would be easier to go through the
eye of a camel's needle or something like that. I don't know if I'm you know, quoting it true. But if people have everything they need, why would they want to be encouraged to love a God that they can't see? They can't see him. They can't put their hands on him. They've never seen him. They've seen him through his creative acts, his creative works, what he's created on our planet. But why should, what would be the number one reason that people with money, and of course those definitely with no money, why should they be concerned about trying to please a God that they can't see, and that they will not admit that he's the one keeping them alive every breath in their body? So, okay, why should they be interested?
Because God, getting to know who God is, will give us a peace that passes all understanding and comprehension by a man, woman, or child. Peace, P-E-A-C-E. It's something about godly peace that surpasses earthly peace or earthly happiness. And the age factor is also involved. At some point in time, we're born. At some point in time between birth, we grow up, we mature, we do some things, and then comes death. So at some point in time, once you get to know who the Creator is, before their demise comes, before they die, we're not going to live forever, whether you have wealth or whatever it is. That wealth either be willed to somebody else or to be given, rendered unto the state if there's no will. So we need to have a quality of life that gives us peace during this life, whether we have money or not, who God is, so that we can go through some kind of enjoyment with a relationship of a supernatural being that loves us, cares for us, provides for us, and sustains us before our transitional time comes to leave this earth. And he will lead and direct us to things that he wants us to do while we're here in this posture called life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? That sounds just wonderful. But I'm thinking, you know, there's a group of psychoanalysts and psychologists that say that, you know, baby born, you know, and they start growing and they start choosing their way of life, you know, once they get to through the school systems, and then they get their job. Some people are saying it's not worth it. They're saying, why would a God create us and only give us 60 or 70 years, and then you still don't know where you're headed? I mean, shouldn't there be some kind of a educational process? Because we're talking about making a universal God happy. So should there be some kind of educational process where men and women are taught about God? They are taught how to please God and how to serve God, and that a God even exists. You have people running around now saying that the Bible is not even something to count on now, talking about the existence of a God. They're saying it's just a bunch of men, ancient men, running around, you know, having dreams and saying things that may or may not be true. You have people right now, and I think I may have sent that out to many of our thousands of people that are now tuning in. And I'm thinking, why would anyone want to serve a God that they cannot see? So how are you going to make him happy? You can't see him. You can't see him. You can't feel him. You can't touch him. You can't lick on him. I'll just throw it in there. A lot of that's going on. I mean, people have tend to turn away from even wanting to hear about God, let alone make him happy. What am I going to get if I make him happy? I'm already happy. Is he going to give me another car? I already got one. Is he going to give me a house? I already got that. He's going to give me some more money in the bank? I already got more money. I heard someone say to a lawyer friend of mine that he didn't need any money. He was questioning him on something. He said, you know what? I don't, he said, he and his wife said, we don't need any more money. And I think he was like maybe in his 60s or something like that. This world is warped. But we are still teaching through our show that God got to be made happy. If God, it used to be saying, if daddy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy in his house. And that still should reign supreme. If the God of the universe is not happy, how could he be happy with what he's seeing and what he's looking down on? And most of the people that say, oh, I'm for God, I'm with God, they're not following the charge of God. that's very, very, very scary to even think about really following what God has said. I guess he would be happy if we followed his creed through his holy word to the letter. But what can we say about that, Colonel Hanson? People are saying, and they ain't even seeking God. It says in the last days, none shall seek God. They aren't doing that. Is that a way to God's heart? And is that a way to make God happy? Because we've already established, you know, I don't feel like there's no hope. I'm not happy. So why am I going to stop what I'm doing, my pursuit of happiness, to go after unseen God? Should I do that? And then if I should do that, how would I do that? You've already expressed, well, you know, you got to seek out someone. Well, who? Who? They say 1 in 3 now has no affiliation of a church or of a haven, a sepulchre, temple, or whatever they want to call these places now. They don't have no affiliation. So is that going to be a problem? Making God's heart happy. Where are you going in there to show people that you're doing it? Most people aren't walking the streets anymore. They're not even in their own house talking about God. How can that be approached, Colonel Harrison?
Yes, there has to be a teacher. There's there are things we rely on the five senses to lead, direct, and guide our actions. We breathe air. The air is invisible. We can't see it, but we depend on that. Our bodies need it to provide a certain amount of oxygen to our lungs so we'll continue to live as a being. The wind comes, the wind goes. No one knows where it comes from. No one knows where it goes. It's invisible, but yet there is the wind. I'm leading to a principle here called faith. Belief and trust in God. That's what a teacher can teach to people, to develop faith, belief in the fact that there is a true and living God named Jehovah who is invisible. You can't see him, but once you get to know who he is, you'll feel his presence, the same as you feel the wind that blows, the same as we take in the invisible air that we breathe. Certain things will reveal itself through what we call Mother Nature to let us know there's a God. But with some people, yes, a teacher is needed to help lead and show them the way. This word faith, belief and trust in God. Perhaps another time we'll go down that, we'll consider that subject. So it just, I learned about God from my mother. She taught all seven of us who God is, and that's how I learned about God. And then she took me to the church, and then she introduced us to the Bible, and so forth and so on. So because I don't know who God is doesn't mean that he does not exist. And I'm not going to deny someone who I don't know, can't see, and say that they don't exist if I haven't made some effort to try to search for them and see if they exist, if they are real, through a teacher or on my own.
My God, yeah, that sounds that sounds wonderful for the God seeker and the Christ seeker. But here we are again. We have an unhappy God. We have an unhappy God watching the scene and scenery on the planet that he created, and we know we should be involved in the pursuit of happiness. That's what they call the American dream. You're able to go from city to city, state to state, hey, and experience the American dream. But now, if God is not happy, what is the chances are that with all the liquor, all the women, your money in the bank, your fine car, your beautiful home, what is the chance that that's going to create in us a special happiness? Should we be concerned with making the heart of the Creator happy? Should we even be concerned?
Yes, we should be concerned, because once we learn who God is, their knowledge of two eternal kingdoms, the kingdom of God called heaven and the kingdom of Satan called hell. Yes, we'll either end up in one place or the other. It's our choice. I encourage us to get to know who God is. It's so important. It's so critical. The world is the world. The world is going away from God. The world is not doing things that will make God happy. God created this world within 6 days, and including mankind and woman. And he said everything that he had made was good. And then when he created man and woman, it said that it was very good. And now God is not happy because that which he has created, mankind and woman, has rejected him, has turned away from him. Now, most don't seek after him to get to know who he is, to follow his instructions for their lives. So God is not happy because that which he created has turned against him for the most part, mankind.
How has that happened? How has that happened? How has that condition even happened in a world, and especially, well, I'll just leave it in America. I was reading parts of the Constitution from the 1700s and the Bill of Rights, and for various reasons. That wasn't the way we started out, but what happened that America has gone the way they have, especially when the Constitution, Bill of Rights, it mentions God in that this was going to be a nation bordered by God, but no one wants to hear about him. They not trying to sit up anymore and listen to anybody talking about him. They have seemed to have really lost their way. We have 5 minutes to tell the nation what can be done about a God who obviously is not happy, and about people that obviously are not trying to seek him out. They just aren't. They just don't even want to hear about him. They're changing the King James Version of the Bible right now as we speak, coming out with something that they say is going to be a blockbuster. And they said it's going to shut what we know as Christianity down in its tracks when they reveal something that they say is in the Bible or something like that. I mean, how can a person think about making a God happy, a God happy, Jehovah God happy, if the nation, if the world, if the country is against that God? Should they still press on? Should they still hold up what used to be called the bloodstained banner in the name of God? Because I know I want to make God's heart happy. I don't want to continue to even hear about people roaming the land, the earth, that are not trying to make that God's heart happy. I know I'm willing to do anything to turn that around, either alone, walking alone. His song says you are never alone, but what do you think is the answer? And you have 5 minutes to expound on it. What is the real answer? Because I want to make his heart happy. So should we be concerned as a people, as a nation?
Yes, the wealthiest nation, Dr. Dever, presently in the 21st century and recent centuries on the face of the earth, the most profitable, highly educated, electronically and everything driven, we know that, has lost its way because it has turned away from true and living God. The Holy Words said there is a way about man that seems right, but the end leads to his destruction. Most men have egos, and they choose to do things their way rather than the way God prefers to do it. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge God, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Yet we turn away from him. We cannot be happier than the Creator who has created us unless we make him happy. Silver and gold one may have, I have none. But such as I have, that I render unto the true and living God. We got to get back to the teachings and the family, who God is. There is a God. Sit down, read our inspirational holy scriptures and books to our kids and teach them and indoctrinate them so they will not be confused. That's what the folks of years gone by, my mother and grandmother and those years gone by, that's what they did. And so there was a belief and trust that was part of us growing up. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison.
Do...
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Colonel Harrison, thank you so much. We got 3 seconds to go. God bless you. Tune in next week. We're going to find out some more about this guy. Well, who is this guy that I should be interested in? God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today. God bless you.
Oh, God.